Letter number 47, April the 1st, 1987, Communism, the Rotting of Christendom. The enclosed special issue of Verbum concerns communism. We are sending it to you at this time because of the recent showing on American television screens of the miniseries America, spelt with a capital K, a fictional dramatization of a takeover of the United States by Russia with the help of the United Nations. This miniseries was reportedly defective in various ways, but it did serve to reawaken interest in the problem of communism on which our media of disinformation habitually put us to sleep. Typically, before America was shown, the liberals or anti-communists made a tremendous fuss to keep it from being shown, or else to reduce the danger of anybody being woken up. The Chrysler Corporation was persuaded to withdraw its sponsorship of the series. One of the leading actors took part in advertisements promoting the United Nations, and so on. Already in 1937, Pope Pius XI, in his great encyclical on communism, Divini Redemptoris, denounced as two reasons for its rapid spread, quote, a truly diabolical propaganda, unquote, and, quote, the conspiracy of silence of a large part of the non-Catholic press of the world, unquote. A conspiracy of which, he said, much could be attributed to reasons of short-sighted politics and just as much to the influence of, quote, various occult forces which have long sought the destruction of the Christian social order, unquote. Indeed, communism is no more nor less than the final rot of decomposing Christendom, the just chastisement for our own godlessness. Archbishop Lefebvre has said that the Second Vatican Council, held from 1960 to 1965, will be branded with infamy for having failed to denounce communism, quote, the most monstrous error ever thought up by Satan, unquote. This failure or refusal was no doubt due to the treacherous Moscow-Vatican agreement of 1962. Father Oliver Orevich speaks about communism in this verbum from direct and first-hand experience. Originating from Slovakia, his ministry is now in Canada. He is a good friend of the Society of St. Pius X and has paid several visits to the seminary here. His message must be heeded, and the requests of Our Lady of Fatima must be fulfilled. Otherwise, we shall simply have deserved everything coming to us. For there is not nothing that we can do. The Society's Superior General, Father Franz Schmidberger, in his enclosed letter number 32, announces a major Society pilgrimage to Fatima for the Feast of the Sorrowful and Immaculate Heart of Mary on Saturday, August 22nd of this year, 1987, the 70th anniversary of the apparitions of Our Lady at Fatima. And if you cannot cross the Atlantic, there are always the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, the Mother of God's own antidote for all kinds of spiritual poisoning since the Protestant Reformation. See in the Superior General's letter a moving testimonial to these exercises. At Ridgefield, the Easter retreat for men is close to filled, and the 8 summer retreats are fast filling. If the seminary moved out for lack of space, and if Ridgefield came a year-round retreat house, it would not seem to be a moment too soon. Such a move is possible because it might well be less expensive than continuing the building program here. In any case, we are always grateful for your uninterrupted generosity. Some of you inquire after the seminary's lawsuits provoked by the priests who broke away from the society nearly 4 years ago. Alas, these lawsuits drag on because our adversary and his lawyers do everything they can to stop them coming to court, where he knows he must lose. Out of 5 decisions so far, 4 were humiliating defeats for them, and the 5th an effectual defeat, which he wrote up as a victory. I spare you the details. Let him afford us a little laugh. Quote, I do think that had he been captain of the Titanic, with 3 funnels out of 4 underwater, he would still have been on the stern, screaming to a bemused audience that they were not going to sink. Then, had he survived the sinking, with the seaweed still in his mouth, he would have come up with a series of utterly convincing arguments to prove that it was not he that had hit the iceberg, but the iceberg that had hit him. To prove his point, back on dry land, he would have had his Manhattan lawyers take the iceberg to court for damages, and if anyone had ventured to say that he was crazy to sue an iceberg, he would have turned around and sued them for libel. As it is, his lawyers must be laughing until they cry all the way to the bank. After all, he must be finding someone to pay them. Poor someone, unquote. At the seminary, we are now preparing for Holy Week. Holy Week is the best time of year to remember, in today's ever-worsening crisis of the Church, how wise was the scandal and foolishness of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:23. Our Lord seemed to lose out completely, but it was the devil who once and for all was defeated. Let us never forget that God's ways are not our ways, that it is on the way of the cross that we must follow him, and that however much we are tempted to think he does not know what he is doing, still he is right, and we will make a great mistake if we ever abandon him or his one and only Holy Catholic Church. How sorry the apostles must have been afterwards to have run away in the Garden of Gethsemane. May you have a blessed Holy Week if this letter reaches you in time, and in any case, a joyful Eastertide. End of letter 47.